This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome once again to Mystery Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today's topic is One Tough Cop. That's Johnny Broderick of the NYPD. We're going to talk about some of his, we're going to talk about his life and some of his escapades. But before we do, let me introduce the man who, in his mind, is the reason for the success of this podcast. The most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, I'm fine. I appreciate that introduction. And you know what I appreciate more, though, Timmy?
What's that, Colonel?
The introduction you didn't have to do.
What do you mean by that?
Well, everything feels right again.
You everything. Mean because our colleague is not here?
Because the devil's bride has been called back down to hell, apparently.
Apparently, we don't have to deal with her today. She had a conference with Satan today.
She did.
So Brandy's unavailable. So I know, you know, they got that. They got all the whole cackling hen crew that's going to be upset. But please bear with us. Brandy will be back. We just had to get this podcast out without her today because she wasn't available. But I'm sure after she is done with whatever ritual that she's
sacrificing a baby goat.
Yeah, something. Or a baby child, something.
Baby child, yeah.
Once that's done, I'm sure she'll be back. So, Team Brandy, just sit tight. We haven't ditched her. We haven't fired her. She will be back.
We haven't fired her yet. But, Timmy, and have you noticed we have a diverse listener base?
Yeah, we do.
And this proves my point, that when you get a group to get people together, there's always going to be a few unhinged, crazy people.
So you're saying that her followers are kind of
they're misguided. They're fine people, but you know,
right? They need direction.
Nicole, Kim Taylor, group. Brittany, Nicole,
Kim Taylor,
They seem like fine people. Stephanie,
They're all very nice ladies. But somehow they've got drawn into the dark side.
But it's like rooting for Darth Vader.
Well, you know, like in wrestling, you got the bad guys have the following.
So. Well, that's true.
Yeah. So.
And the Force is strong in those crazy women too.
It is. They're very devoted to her.
Yeah.
So if you're on Team Brandy, don't worry, she'll be back.
Maybe
next time she will be. But Colonel, today we're going to talk about. NYPD Detective Johnny Broderick, and he was a detective back in the 1930s and 1940s. He was a pretty rough character. We're going to talk about him. But before we do you have any shout-outs?
Well, I have the shout-out to, of course, Lady Beverly.
Of course.
Because she is my one devoted follower. Scotty J., of course.
Sure.
Scotty, now I got to go with Scotty J. is a little bit unhinged himself, but he's a good man.
He's working really hard on his podcast.
Smart guy, very smart guy, and of course, as always, the lovely Dottie Scott.
Dottie, my mom. Yeah.
She's on the mend.
Yeah, she is on the mend, and of course, Canute over there in
Canute
Norway.
And Storm.
Yeah, over in Norway.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this podcast about Johnny Broderick. Johnny Broderick was a New York Police Department detective who became known in the 1920s and 1930s as one of the city's toughest police officers. patrolling the Broadway Theater District and policing the whole Midtown Manhattan. And he had some run-ins, personal run-ins with gangsters, and we're going to talk about his career. That span between 1923 and 1947, so pretty long career as a cop. He built a reputation for his...
That would have been right at the height of the mafia, too.
Yeah, to, yeah. This was in the roaring 20s, yeah. Great, through the Great Depression. He built quite a reputation for his physical courage and for assaulting gangsters such as Jack Legs Diamond. You've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
And Two Gun Crawley. You've probably heard of him.
Two Gun Crawley. Yeah. He's a famous one.
And facing down gunmen in a prison break at the Tombs Prison. So we're going to get into that. He won 8 medals for valor during his career.
Damn.
I know. He was pretty badass. But he was best known for using excessive force.
Well, as all good policemen are.
Yeah. Johnny Broderick was born on January 16, 1896. He was born on January 16th. You know what that means, Colonel.
His mama was really pregnant with him during the holidays.
Yeah, he was almost a New Year's baby. Born on January 16th, 1896, in the Gas House District of Manhattan in New York City. He was the son of Margaret Kendall and Michael Broderick. Broderick had a hard, unforgiving early life. As a boy, he was always fighting. When he was 8 years old, he was being picked on by some older children in the Bowery. You know, the Bowery was a pretty rough neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The oldest boy in the crowd was a hoodlum named Tommy Gianelli. Tommy Gianelli was 16 years old, and he was picking on young Johnny Broderick and calling him half pint. And Broderick was a little small for his age. Broderick retaliated by jumping off of a stoop and smashing Gianelli's head between 2 garbage can lids, which resulted in Gianelli getting 17 stitches. And Gianelli responded by running down the street away from the 8-year-old Broderick. When Gianelli's friends started laughing at their fleeing friend, the 8-year-old jumped back up on the stoop and screamed, "Which one of you greasers are next?"
See, that's what, and if you ever, and the Colonel, you know, grew up in a housing project.
Right.
It was a little tough. It was not like the Bowery, but it was not easy. And some advice the Colonel brother gave him one time, He said, you know, you're going to get picked on because, you got blonde hair in a housing project, and that's not going to be great for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, all you got to do is bite one person's ear off.
Yeah.
Bite one person's ear off, and nobody will pick on you.
They leave you alone once they think you're
and
crazy.
He must have got the same advice. You clang 2 guys with a garbage can lids and like to play in the cymbals and get the guy's head between them.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to mess with little Johnny.
After that, they pretty much left him alone. His father died when he was just 12 years old, so he quit school to support his family. He took a job driving a brick truck at 12 years old.
A brick truck?
12 years old. And then a coal truck to support his mother, so he was driving at 12. When World War I rolled around, he joined the Navy, and he took up boxing in the Navy, and they finally made him stop because he was sending too many of his the sailors to the
infirmary.
Yeah, he was apparently he was really busting people up, and so they finally made him quit boxing because they were dealing with so many injuries that he's caused. They said that he caused more injuries than the Kaiser. So at the close of World War I, Broderick used his connections he made when he was driving a truck with the local Teamsters Union to secure a position as a bodyguard for one of the labor leaders, Samuel Gumpers. At that point, Broderick was 5'10", weighed 170, and he served as this Gumpers, this labor leader's bodyguard for a while. But he got bored with that. In 1922, he applied to become a New York City fireman, so he used his connections kind of with the Tammany Hall Democrats there. Mm-hmm. It was run, you know, Boss Tweed, it was running the city, to get a job with the fire department, though he became bored with that pretty quickly as well. He said, all you did was sit around and wait for
fire wasn't even exciting to this guy.
No, fire wasn't exciting. So, ironically, he quit the fire department and enlisted as a police officer in 1923. And the first thing he did as a police officer was to rescue two children from a burning building hours into his first shift. So that was his first act as a police
officer. Came in handy as training.
It did.
The fire was probably afraid of him.
Probably so. But heroics like these saw Broderick promoted from beat cop to detective third grade in just 3 months after joining the NYPD. So that was pretty impressive. He climbed a ladder pretty quickly. And then in three months later, he got promoted again. And after a year, he was promoted to detective first grade in 1926.
Damn, this guy's he's on a career path there, too.
Yeah, and just... Yeah, to put it in perspective, in just 3 years, Broderick earned three promotions that often took regular officers their entire career to achieve.
Damn.
Now, his rise did not go unnoticed, with the New York Herald Tribune wondering if it was due to his performance and luck or his influence. So there's some questions early on whether or not he's connected to somebody. While there were rumors of backroom deals and connections for his time as a union man, his rise to the ranks of the NYPD was filled more with stories of him doling out justice with his fist than anything else.
And that's really how justice should be served, Timmy.
Well, this was a time, as you mentioned, this was the roaring, going into the Depression. And a lot of these mobsters were getting let go. Arrest them, and then they had the
judges in their pocket.
Judges, the politicians in their pocket. And there would really be no retribution. They would just get booked and then let out later that day. So
he was instead of Colonel Justice, he was doling out Johnny Justice.
Johnny Justice, exactly. And the newspapers really ate up his exploits. And they loved reporting on what he was doing and his actions with criminals and things. For example, he became infamous for his habit of slapping known criminals upside the head with a rolled-up newspaper.
Kind of like they peed on the carpet.
It doesn't sound as bad, but... It should be noted that the newspapers in question usually had an iron bar hidden inside of them, allowing him to beat his suspects unconscious in broad daylight. But he later claimed in court that he only given him a playful whack with the newspaper.
With the newspaper?
Yeah.
What kind of candy ass falls down after I hit him with a newspaper?
Well, so he quickly gained a reputation for his violence. His fists were described as huge, lethal pistons that could beat a man senseless in less than half of a heartbeat. To be Broderick became slang for being knocked out in a single punch.
He got Broderick. He got Johnny Justice.
His knuckles were broken 15 times during his career. The x-rays of his hands were used at medical school as exhibits.
And I don't know, you ever had a broken knuckle, Tim?
No.
Oh, ain't nothing like it, man. Yeah.
Well, apparently he went through quite a few knuckles.
Yeah, I ain't never had 15.
He broke 15 knuckles. You don't even have 15. I don't know.
I've had one broken, Tim.
He must have broke some of them at least twice.
And you know he wasn't getting cast like everybody else.
No, man. It was, all in a day's work. He would demand that hoodlums tip their hat to him when he walked by.
Well, I would expect they would. And then they get hit with the newspaper. So he had to clean the shot with the newspaper. Yeah. He didn't want to hit him with the hat.
Yeah, so, and they were pretty respectful to him. And he expectedly, he felt it was important that the gangsters respect him. He once attended a funeral of a Houston Dusters gang. I don't know what gang that is, but it was a gang in New York.
Hudson
Dusters. You familiar with them?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Okay, well, one of their gang members died. He attended, all the important gangsters in the city was there in the church for this funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And he attended this funeral. The church was dead silent when Broderick entered the service, removed his hat, walked up to the corpse, leaned over, and spit into the dead man's face. Broderick then placed his hat back on his head and walked out of the funeral without saying a word.
He probably didn't get invited to the wake.
Probably not.
At the wake, he came in and pissed on the casserole.
Another gangster, Johnny Segucci, complained that Broderick, Broderick apparently arrested him for some dastardly deed and put his handcuffs on. And Suguchi complained that the handcuffs were on too tight. He had his kind of hands cuffed behind his back. Suguchi complained that the handcuffs were too tight. So Broderick broke his arm and displaced his elbow, so it would fit
better. Well, there you go. See?
He was a problem solver.
He looked outside the box. I mean, he thought outside the box.
He did. When Suguchi withering in pain, Suguchi complained again. Broderick punched him in the face.
This boy didn't learn for the first time.
Yeah, apparently, you know, you probably just want to, you know, bite your lip anyway, yeah. and not say anything. Anyway, he was even, Broderick was unafraid of even the most fearsome gangsters, and was known to respond to threats on his life by driving over to the gangsters who made the threats' house and attacking them. The most famous occasion occurred with the high-profile mobster Legs Diamond. You've heard of Legs Diamond?
Oh, yeah. He was a scary man, too.
Well, Legs was out drinking one night with his cohorts, and apparently he was angry at Broderick for one thing or another. And
probably spitting in a corpse face.
Maybe. But he said that he was going to take Broderick out for a ride, which, of course, is gangster lingo for going to whack him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diamond and his crew begin to hunt for Broderick to make good on the promise, and other lowlifes heard about it and join in on the search, and they wanted to be a part of this. Unfortunately for Diamond, Broderick also heard about it, and he began hunting down Diamond.
He was hunting down Diamond while Diamond was hunting down him.
Yeah, he found Diamond. The newspapers report that Broderick found Diamond on the corner of 46 and Broadway. Broderick approached Diamond and his cohorts, stating that, I hear that you're looking to take me for a ride. At that point, Diamond's bodyguards fled the area, leaving Diamond alone to face Broderick.
Not very good bodyguards.
No, with his wingman out of the picture and a whole crowd of the underworld types looking on, so it's, you know, they were crowding around. Diamond tried to play off the whole thing by saying, come on, Johnny, can't you take a joke? It was at this point that Broderick punched him in the face and then unceremoniously dumped him headfirst into a nearby garbage can.
See, Johnny didn't have a sense of humor at all.
Yeah.
Well, he had an odd sense of humor. When you say, can you take a joke? The punchline was the actual punchline.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with so many criminals witnessing this, you know, the mob boss was humiliated. And he really lost Diamond's, Legs Diamond lost respect among his...
lost a lot of standing when that happened.
Yeah, lost a lot of standing. And Mayor of New York, Jimmy Walker, credited this incident as the ending, really ending Diamond's criminal career. He said that Broderick as good as killed Diamond with that garbage can. Finished him as a leader. Afterwards, Diamond was a victim of several assassination attempts. Ended up in the hospital with bullet wounds. And then once he got out of the hospital, he was sent to prison. And the first day he got out, he was assassinated. So that kind of was the downfall of his career.
How'd you like that? We're gonna have to look that up. How long he did in prison? You do 5 years. You keep your mouth shut. You don't rat anybody out, and they shoot you as soon as you get out.
Yeah,
that's some ungrateful bastards in the mafia back then.
So anyway, Broderick's is a pretty badass guy.
Badass. He made Chuck Norris run home to his mama.
So these brazen tactics became, you know, his calling card. For instance, another example during one of his more widely reported exploits, 1931, Broderick boldly faced down famed gangster Two Gun Crawley, who had been trapped by several policemen in an apartment. They had a shootout. A firefight soon erupted between the police and Crawley. When Broderick arrived with a crowd of newspaper reporters surrounding the building, like they think of like 15,000 people looking on. So, I mean, this whole block in Midtown Manhattan. Broderick simply strolled across the street with no cover and knocked on the door. Broderick asked to gun why he didn't give up. Crawley said that Broderick should know better, that he wasn't going to come out without shooting. And Broderick called him, said he was nutty, and that he was going to... Broderick said he was going to run some errands and he would be back in 2 hours.
I'm going to pick up my dry cleaning, boy. I'm going to exactly. eat lunch. I'm going to be back here in 2 hours. You're and right. you better straighten your ass up.
You're right. Exactly. If
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He said if Crawley wasn't out by the time he came back, that he would come in and take him. So Broderick leaves the scene to pick up his laundry. He goes to pick up his laundry. There's a two-hour firefight ensues with an estimated 700 rounds of
holy shit
bullets.
It's like Vietnam over there.
When Broderick returns 2 hours later, the firefight's still going on. He again, carrying his laundry draped over his shoulder, Broderick walks up back to the residence where Crawley was holed up. The door was locked, so Broderick kicked it in. Inside the room, he found Crawley injured on the ground. He had been shot 4 times. Crawley pointed the gun at Broderick, but rather than try to get out of the way of the fire, Broderick simply knocked the gun out of Crawley's hands. He then got close enough. When he got close enough, he punched Crawley in the face.
Of course he did. Did the guy even, he was like Andy, did he even carry a gun?
I don't know.
He just carried a newspaper waiting.
He just carried his fist. Another of his exploits occurred a few years previous, November 1926, when he was in a, there was a standoff at the Tombs at prison in Manhattan. In an attempted prison break, 3 prisoners killed a guard and a warden and ended up trapped in a coal, behind a coal pile. When Broderick arrived, rather than to duck under the, for cover like the rest of the police were doing, he grabbed a metal garbage can lid. He's real big on his garbage can lid as a shield and sprinted toward the criminals. From there, the report, news reports came out directly that now this is this is bullshit here, but the news reports came out that the criminals committed suicide rather than the face.
They could have.
But they believe that they had been shot and killed by the other police.
Oh, shit. Not but, Johnny.
But they had, the newspapers had it that the criminals committed suicide rather than Broderick. But he did charge him. Once while attending a boxing match, known gangster Vanny Higgins was not quick enough to step out of Broderick's way when he was walking to his seat. Broderick hit him so hard that the punch knocked Higgins through a closed phone booth. Boxing great Jack Dempsey saw the fight, and he said it was the hardest punch ever thrown to Madison Square Garden. Once, when a man was robbing a crowded restaurant at Columbus Circle with 2 guns and a knife, Broderick walked in and asked the man what was going on. The man, who knew of Broderick's reputation, says, "I don't want any trouble, Johnny." And then the would-be robber handed over his gun and knife.
And the loot he took.
Broderick took the weapons from the assailant, and then he proceeded to punch,
punch him in the face.
Knocking him over the diner counter. Yet another of Officer Broderick's exploits reported in the news was an incident where he was resulted in a car containing five armed gangsters flipping over at a high speed chase. Now, how did that happen? Well, he was chasing them in a police car, and he pulled out the old stunt that you see on Hollywood movies. He shot out the tires.
Oh, there you go. He finally used a gun on somebody.
Well, on the tires, anyway. The car flipped, and
he walked up to the car and punched him in the face.
You're getting mad at me. The car flipped. All the men required medical attention.
He punched a car in the face.
The driver was trapped behind the wheel of the car. And he was begging, he was covered in blood, and he was begging Broderick to get him out before the car exploded. Broderick leaned over to the driver and punched him
in the face.
Broderick's exploits did not go unnoticed by celebrities who began to requesting his services as a bodyguard when he visited New York. He was personally asked to serve as bodyguard to President Franklin Roosevelt. To lead his protection detail when Roosevelt attended the 1936 World Series. Similar request was made by the Queen of Romania and the King of Belgium when they were in town. When asked once to serve as bodyguard for visiting First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, Broderick replied, "I ain't got time for that dame. Besides, if you ask me, she's been punched in the face too many times."
Now see, if the Archduke Ferdinand would have had him as a bodyguard.
Oh, man, there'd been no World War.
Nope.
Despite his fearsome reputation, somewhat questionable crime-fighting tactics, he became famous. Broderick became famous nationwide. They make movies about him. He was known to be, despite his bad temperament as a law officer, he was known to be in person pretty gentle and humble, down to earth.
Until he punched you in the face.
He almost never talked to the press about his acts, except through, like, official police reports. He refrained from smoking and drinking. He spent most of his free time at home with his wife and a daughter and exercising in the gym. He took his job as a role model, at least early in his career, seriously. He wouldn't, as I say, he wasn't a drinker or a smoker. And one of his friends owned a pub in town by the name of Toots Shore. And Toots, one night, Edward G. Robinson was in his pub, and Edward G. Robinson had played Broderick in a movie, the 1936 movie called Bullets and Ballots. So Toots Shore, when Edward G. Robinson was in his pub, you know, he was telling Edward G. Robinson, "Hey, you played my friend in this movie, and I'd like for you to meet him." And Edward G. Robinson said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to meet him." So Shore calls Broderick and says, "Hey, you know, Edgar G. Robinson's in my place. He would love to meet you." And Broderick said to tell him that he doesn't want to meet me. If I come down there, I'm going to flatten him.
I'm going to punch him in the face.
Confused, Toots asked him, "What's eating you, Johnny?" Robinson's a fine guy. But Broderick was mad because when he played him in the movie, he would drink and he smoked.
He did not like that. He was a clean lover.
He was to a degree. We're going to get into some more stuff. But yeah, he liked that clean image. He didn't want his children to see his character smoking.
I like the way they talk back. "Hey, what's eating you, Johnny?"
What's eating you, Johnny?
Yeah.
I like those old phrases. So anyway, but with women and children, he was a complete teddy bear. He never hesitated to walk young women home at night, even if he felt unsafe, and offered his service as a bodyguard free of charge. And he wasn't hitting on him. He was faithful to his wife. But if women would tell him that, you know, they had been victims of domestic assault, he would visit their former partners and punch them in the face. Exactly. In one instance, the New York papers reported that Broderick beat up several young men who had been harassing women on the street. Then, for good measure, he tossed each of them in a window through windows so that he could arrest them for malicious destruction of property. And they were charged with destruction of property, and each of them got 30 days in jail.
As they should. They got Johnny Justice.
They got Johnny Justice, yes. If you're guessing by now that Broderick's career was marred by controversy, well, you're right. even though he was abusive, you know, he was very abusive in his treatment to criminals, he felt that they had it coming, and it wasn't really that uncommon for police to be very
well. Don't they really have it coming?
Well, they can. A lot of times, especially back in those days, the system was so corrupt that they would be out in the street by the time they get done booking them. So he made sure that people kind of paid the price for committing crimes.
But even today, they got it coming. Well, we need more Johnny Dangerouslys.
Well, Johnny Broderick was a bad seed. But anyway, he wasn't that concerned about civil rights at the time. With the criminals or gangsters would flaunt their crimes, he would make them pay for it.
He'd punch them in the face.
He doled out justice, and he would rather have the criminals, it was reported, would rather,
be arrested.
Locked up, than to meet up with Johnny. Nevertheless, he took excessive force to a whole new level. In 1937, the New York Supreme Court even had to step in, freeing the prisoner that had long been sentenced, that his sentence had not long been complete, or his sentence had not been complete. They released him because Broderick had beat him so badly that the man was crippled for life. on top of the excessive force they used to beat this man, Broderick refused to allow him to have medical attention. So,
well, maybe he was a wife beater, Timmy.
Yeah, I don't know, but he would. Now, Broderick toward the end of his career, started looking at a political career because he was very popular, you can imagine. And he started, thinking maybe he'll run for mayor, or maybe he'll run for, alderman or something. But the political powers to be at the time did not like that idea because they didn't think they could control him. So they charged him they forced him to retire because apparently he was seen in the company of known gangsters. Now, Broderick said that was only because
he had to get close to punch him in the face.
He said it's only because he was, he was trying to do his job, right? And
you can't punch a gangster in the face if you're 5 miles away.
Right. He said he was trying to do his job and get information, but apparently it stained his reputation. So he retired, and they did not. He did not run for a public office, but he retired in 1947 from the force because of this scandal. After retirement, he made one unsuccessful attempt at political office as a councilman in 1949. But again, the scandal came back up, and really his political aspirations went into the toilet. After he retired, he sold the rights to his life to RKO Pictures, the movie studio.
They should have sold it to TKO the Pictures.
Yeah. For $75,000, which would be about $753,000.
Oh, he came out all right.
In today's money, yeah. A script was made, and it was tentatively called, the movie was tentatively called Broadway's One Man Riot Squad. The actors were hired. But they never got around to making the film based on his life due to budget concerns, probably because they gave him $75,000
to sign. Just a sign, yeah.
Broderick took the money, though, and he retired to a farm where he raised horses and dogs. He died in 1966 at the age of 70 years old, with newspapers across the nation hailing him as the toughest cop in the world.
And you know, when he was 70 years old, when he was young, get off my yard, you better get your ass off his yard.
He
punched you right in the face.
You know, he was a cranky old man.
Well, you know, this is interesting because I read an article not long ago, there's people out there, Timmy, that are just not right. And the Colonel brother, I've told you stories about him. Mm-hmm. But they think that the Navy, like the SEALs, Army Rangers, things like that, they think what they're finding is they have a defect in the natural flight or fight thing.
Yeah, they go right to fight.
They don't have the natural flight or fight response that you and I have. Uh-huh. You know, so when people are shooting at you,
my flight response is pretty strong.
My just try to keep out of trouble and keep my head low. And I had it reminded me a little bit, too, of my uncle. Mm-hmm. He was one of those old-time policemen. Unfortunately,
they didn't take shit, man.
Well, he was the commander of the district I lived in when I was about 17, 18, 19 years old.
Nothing then.
And this is back when the police would just, if you get in trouble, they take you to the police station, your parents pick you up, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And your parents would beat the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So one night we got into a little bit of a thing, and I was waiting, and usually my uncle would come out, and I'd be sitting there, and he'd say, "What do these idiots do?" You know, and mm-hmm. he'd say, "Well, it was we caught them drinking, and we caught them fighting," and he'd just sit there, and he'd say, "Chuck," and this was my favorite uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say, "Chuck, Colonel," this is before Colonel Day, so yes,
before
the Colonel.
Title,
so he'd say,
title.
"Chuck, you know, sit
colonel
down there."
Waiting then.
Yeah, and so the Colonel, he'd just sit there, you know, because I love my Uncle Mike. He was a great man. And one particular time, we did something that we thought was fairly innocuous.
Mm-hmm.
What we would do, we wasn't old enough to buy liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd walk into the store, and we'd put our money on the counter. We'd bring our beer up to the counter, and we'd put our money on the counter. And if the man asked us for ID, we'd just grab the beer and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no crime, because we had not stolen anything.
Right.
But apparently that is some kind of strong-arm robbery if the people tell you to stop. I'm not really sure what the deal is with
it. Some legalities there.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, you know, on the bench in the police station waiting for my uncle to come and get me. And all of a sudden my uncle come and snatch me by the collar, drag me into an interrogation room to me, and bounced the colonel off every wall in that place and told me this was a serious one. This is one you go to jail for. Now it's time to make the decision to straighten up, fly right, because I'm kicking your ass every time I see you from now on. And the colonel pretty much flown straight ever since then. But
right, made an impression. I remember, because I grew up in a small town, of course, and you knew the cops. You know what I mean? You knew them.
Yeah.
And they'd hang out and they'd talk mm-hmm. to them. They'd be parking their cruisers, sitting and sitting or whatever, and they'd sit and you just talk to them. You knew all of them. And they knew. You know, they knew if you got in trouble. They mm-hmm. knew what you were doing. You couldn't hide it from them.
No.
They knew what was going on. And I guess that's what community policing is all about. But I don't know how, you know, in a city as large as Cincinnati.
But they had no hesitancy to slap you back then either.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
In a way, that's, you know, those days were, I don't know if you call them the good old days or not, because, you know, obviously some police abused that.
Mm-hmm. But they were extensions of parents. And all
they were. Mm-hmm. They very much were. Yeah,
especially
you knew
the kids who never had any parents or had never had the parental influence at home.
And well, and I can remember Chris Rock does a bit on his comedy skit that, you know, if the police have to run for you and chase you, they're bringing an ass whooping with them.
Oh, yeah.
And we always knew that as kids. We never ran from the police because mm-hmm. we knew they beat the hell out of you when they caught you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that has disappeared, and I don't know that it's a horrible thing, but, you know, you had more, and I guess, you know, it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
The police had respect for you back then, people had respect for the police, and now it's a little bit different, you know, but I think we'd be better if things were the way they used to be, Timmy.
Yeah, the thing was, you never knew what they knew. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You had to be careful because you never knew what they knew. And they wouldn't, you know, they would never let you on what they know.
Yeah.
So you had to be careful. But at the same time, you could talk. I mean, you could talk to them. I mean, we would sit, you know, they would pull up and park and we just bullshit with them all the time. And they, you know, they knew if we were doing something or, you know, mm-hmm. tell us to knock it off or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you felt like you had someone, you know, you wouldn't get someone that was just, you know, a stranger.
And well, the worst thing is when they would take your beer. They catch you drinking and take your beer.
Or your Boone's Farm.
Or your Boone's Farm, whatever you had, yeah. You old enough to be smoked, give me those cigarettes. Because you knew they smoked them, too.
Yeah, they just took them. All right, Colonel, any final thoughts on Johnny Broadwick?
No, I like Johnny. I think he gave out Johnny Justice, Colonel Justice. You know, I'm all about justice, Timmy.
You are. He was pretty badass.
He was pretty badass. It was, it's a shame the devil couldn't be here for this because she's prone, you know, she's prone to punching people, too.
Yeah, she is.
It's an unfortunate thing.
And her father's in law enforcement.
Mm. Yeah, but she punches kids, puppies.
Oh,
yeah,
she,
I mean, she's, remember that old lady? She came in here looking for directions.
Yeah.
punched her right in the face. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah, and then she has this whole people following her, you know. She's kind of like Donald Trump. She can do anything.
She can do it, say anything, and people were so Team Brandy. Team Brandy, it's crazy, Timmy.
Yeah. All right, Colonel, where can people find us?
They can find us on the iTunes, Timmy. Okay. On iTunes, that's where a whole catalog of things are.
And they can leave a review for us.
And you can leave a review for us. Tell us what you like,
really
what you don't like.
Yes. Tell us what you like.
You can find us on Stitcher. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely find us on Facebook under History Dweebs.
Yes. Leave us a comment. Go to Facebook, leave us a comment. We especially love our reviews on iTunes because it allows other people to find us.
And you can interact with some of the Team Brandy members who are very vocal on the page.
They are very vocal, you're right.
They're very smart, very funny, and very entertaining.
Yes,
so.
They are. Yes, they're a good group.
It's you take the good with the bad.
They're just misguided.
They're misguided.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.